meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline. Coast to coast.
You're fired, Anderson. I'm firing everybody. Welcome to Loveline, everybody. Abby Stryker, once again in for Adam Carolla, who is traveling Europe right now, probably complaining that his backpack is too heavy or his room is too small.
Backpack?
No, I don't know.
His Louis Vuitton case.
He does not have a Louis Vuitton
case.
Are
you kidding? Backpack?
I don't know what I'm
talking
about.
Are you high?
I am not high.
He will not get on an airplane if it's not first class. He has Turka guides carrying his stuff for him.
You know why?
Why? He's literally a millionaire.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. I love when he says that, though.
You do?
Yes and no. I just wish that I was literally the millionaire.
I see.
I just have high aspirations to literally be a millionaire. But
you see how easy it is to become one? He can be one.
God. But I worked horrible jobs, even though he liked being a carpenter. I mean, I worked in a grocery store.
He liked being a carpenter?
Didn't he like doing it? He still does stuff like that, though.
He likes it
for himself.
For himself, yeah.
He didn't like the jack-offs he worked with.
He didn't like doing it.
No, he didn't?
Cool. He had to apprentice himself. He started digging ditches for years. And then he was humping drywall. And then he was doing framing. It was just ridiculous.
Got it.
For a decade.
Got it. True. Last night I was driving home after the Loveline show, and I don't know if this happens to you. You've been doing it years and years, so you probably don't even think, but I kind of rehashed in my brain a few things that went on during the night, and I realized I have a bad taste in my mouth based on the guest last night for the first time.
Who was the guest?
Shiri Appleby.
Really?
Wasn't she snooty?
No.
You said to her in a sarcastic tone something about, you didn't invite us to the premiere, and you were just kidding. She's like, go pay for the movie. And I'm like, how about getting a copy? Go pay for my movie.
Well, did you notice I engaged her in a discussion about her rage?
Right, yes.
Because that, a lot of that was coming out, and it was not meant for us.
No.
I mean, the rage. It was just kind of coming out.
I'm aware of this.
And that was, I thought, refreshing, because she always seems so saccharine nice to me that I thought there was something more there, and we were starting to see it last night.
And then she made a comment, I hate doing publicity. Is it so difficult, you freaking famous actresses, to go on Conan or the Loveline program even though Carolla's not here? That would be outstanding.
I think, again, I maybe I'm wrong, but I think she was saying even though she hates publicity, she likes coming here.
That's well, kind of regardless whether she likes here or not, hating publicity, I hate it. I'm an actress. I'm an
You're
artist.
Having a reaction.
She's from the gated
having
community.
Having a reaction. My goodness.
Because, I mean, I was thinking about it, and there's a couple snooty things in there. And I'm like, come on. You're a 25-year-old good-looking girl. You're successful. Chill out. Have fun. Lay your hair down a little.
I think it's because you kept calling her Sherry.
No, Shiri. I said Shiri.
Speaking of rage, though, you know who had a lot of rage last night? It was birthday boy Drew.
Really?
Yeah, you seemed really pissed off last night.
I had a horrible day.
Yeah, you were angry last night.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't call it anger. Like, I had a head of steam on me. You know what I mean?
I thought last night was cool, actually.
I liked it.
Everyone's having their own reaction to whatever happened in here last night.
Yeah, I mean, there is some snooty woman on my right. Dr. Drew did I do?
What did I do that was rageful?
I mean, you're just pissed. You can see it in your face. You can hear it in your voice. The guy in the mall,
day.
He's like, you know, she didn't.
She
talked all night. She didn't call me back. And you're like, oh, well, she doesn't owe you anything.
Then you were screaming at some poor addict for like 10 minutes straight. And I was going, what the hell is going on over here? All right. I'm sure you guys are waiting for Weezer to be on the radio with us. They are not here yet. And I believe we're only having 50% of the band. The manager of the band is not coming. That would be Rivers. Scott and Pat are on their way. The limo driver got lost driving to Pat's house. They should be here momentarily. We'll talk about the new record. We'll talk about Pinkerton. We'll talk about stuff older than that. We'll talk about the Muppets video, how they got that. And anything you want to ask them is cool. If you have a love question, that's cool also. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll go right here. Susie, 23. What's going on?
Hi, I have a question. I've been friends with my friend for a long time, and I think I'm in love with him, but I don't know if I should tell him.
23?
Yes.
And how old is he?
The same age.
You meet in high school?
Yeah.
What about... Go ahead, Drew.
Excuse me?
This is, you're 23. What's going on? You should be able to sort of tell a friend at 23. I mean, you're an adult. You should be able to sort of speak up a little bit. How long have you been hanging out waiting for this guy to come around?
Years.
Okay. Guys don't come around. You know what I mean? Women come around. Women can go, when we first met, I didn't see it, but after years of being friends, guys, you're either in or you're out. It doesn't come around.
How many days a week do you guys hang out in person?
4 or 5.
Well, what's up with this guy then, do you think, Drew? If this guy's putting in the time 5 days a week and not even making out?
No, yeah, we do.
Oh, you do make out?
So your boyfriend, girlfriend?
Well, he's never said anything.
Well, then why don't you have the talk with him? Have a talk.
How do I start it off?
Just, look, where are we going? Where are we going with this?
We're kissing all the time. Are we taking it a step further? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend? What's going on here?
What do you want from this relationship? Yeah, are you boyfriend, girlfriend? Are you seeing anybody else? Are we going to be exclusive? That is a normal conversation when people are making out 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
All right, so wait.
It'll probably go okay if you're making out and he's hanging out with you 5 days. Are you having sex?
Yeah.
Well, are you leaving something out here?
Yeah.
What are you leaving out?
No, nothing. It's just that I don't know what to do.
Do you think he sees other women?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have time if he's with her 5 days a week. Susie, just ask him, Susie.
Have the conversation.
Have the conversation. Say, what the hell are we doing?
Do you work, Susie?
Yeah, I work.
What do you do for a living?
I'd rather not say.
Well, what kind of work do you do?
I do secretarial work.
All right. Go ahead and talk to him.
Okay.
All right.
It'll be fine.
Good luck.
Good luck, Susie.
Thank you.
All right. Kelvin.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Kevin. You're 13.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, is that it?
No. Do you have any dating tips?
Yeah, don't.
How old are you?
13.
13. I don't know if you need to start dating, but you can go to the movies. And, you know, the best thing, I think, is it worked for me. I was good with the ladies from 13 to 15, horrible from 16 to 18, and then, for some reason, a lot better. The group thing is good, like with you and two friends hanging out with, like, three girls at the same time. It's so much more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, like, a group of guy friends and girlfriends that all hang out together?
Oh, yeah.
And is there one girl that you like?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, hang out. Do not spend long, long periods of time pining over someone.
Okay.
Spend a couple of weeks and then actually make some sort of move to spend some time alone with that person. And believe me, that women want face-to-face conversation. That's all they really want. They want you to pay attention and listen and give a piece of yourself back. That's it.
Right.
Very simple.
Right,
listening is the big thing.
Yeah.
That's and giving.
Give back. Hey.
Thanks, Kevin. Deborah.
Hey.
What's up there? You're 20.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, well, my question is this. I get, like, these, like, reactions like I'm high all the time. Not that I'm high, but, like, getting really excited. And then I start hyperventilating. And it happens, I don't hyperventilate all the time, but it happens quite a bit.
What do you mean hyperventilate?
Like, when you can't breathe and you're like, you know?
You're panting.
Yeah, like, really bad to the point where I need a paper bag.
Okay.
But, I got an inhaler. And just over the counter.
What kind of inhaler?
They sell over the counter inhalers?
You mean like an epinephrine inhaler? Like these Primatine or something?
Exactly, right.
Oh, Deborah, for God's sakes.
But it makes it go away.
No, it's going to make it worse. I promise. I promise. Do not do that. Use the paper bag. Calm down.
Uh-huh.
Start breathing into the brown paper bag immediately as soon as
the
you start.
The brown paper bag theory works.
Absolutely.
Come on.
It happened to me at work.
Absolutely.
And I got such a head buzz, and I got a really bad headache, but it lasted for an hour and a half, and it still didn't go away.
And
I
you were using the bag the whole time?
Right, yeah.
And then you need to see somebody about these panic attacks.
Oh. Is it a panic attack, or you're super excited?
Well, first it starts off with super excited for anything. Like, I'll be driving and listening to a song, and I'll start getting excited.
Yeah.
Or I'll be at school taking a test, or just anything.
All right, Deborah, but you need to be evaluated. Maybe you're hyperthyroid. Maybe there's something else sort of spinning you biologically out of control. Or maybe you have a panic disorder, but someone needs to look at it, and then an appropriate treatment plan needs to be
made. Shouldn't use an inhaler?
No way.
Okay.
That will make it worse.
Go to a doctor and he'll tell you what to do.
You'll have a stroke during one of these things eventually.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, I don't use it like all the time. Like,
he says don't use it, Deborah.
God's sakes.
God.
Keep your brown paper bag handy and get seen so you can figure out what's causing the stuff.
Okay, and just one more thing. Is there any chance that I might have like a chemical imbalance in my brain that's
causing? Yes, absolutely. That's what a panic attack is.
Oh.
That's probably what this is, but there are other more generalized biological processes that can create that chemical imbalance in the brain.
And is there any way to, like, cure it completely, or is this something that I'm just stuck
with? Paper bags.
Yes, there are ways to cure it completely, but if it is a brain thing, there are medication, but there's also therapy, talk therapy, so we'll see.
You've seen Fletch, Dr. Drew?
No.
Oh,
I've been vomited on by Fletcher.
Right, Fletcher
from
Pennywise.
Fletch.
Oh, man. The best part ever is when good old Erwin M. Fletcher, you choose, is going to find out if the cancer is benign by sneaking around the hospital. Oh. And, of course, he sees the guy that he's checking out or something like that, and he passes out. And the nurse is there, and he's like, just get me a paper bag. But he doesn't stick it on his mouth. He sticks it on his cheek.
That's why that was considered just high, great comedy.
It was hilarious. Anyone with me over there? Anderson?
No, they eat peanut butter in there.
They eat peanut butter in there. Thank you. See? Good job. Shannon.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 19.
Yes, I am.
Lauren. Lauren.
What?
Is it wise to have the whole screen full of Weezer calls when Weezer's not here? Let's do something about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just started dating this guy, right? And I'm really into him. And he goes, well, you know, we've been dating for a month. Come meet my dad. So I go over there, and his dad is a guy that molested me when I was 5.
Whoa.
Really?
Oh, my God.
And, well, before you, like, say, where's your dad, where's your mom? my mom was an addict until I was 4. She got clean, and she died when I was 8.
Mm. Of what?
Pulmonary hypertension.
Oh, my God. So she was an IV drug addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And she had a lot of speed and cocaine.
Yeah, and I saw it all when I was 4. Like, I'd watch TV and watch her. And
wow.
Who was this guy? Who was this guy when you were... That was her boyfriend.
That she met in AA. And I'd go to meetings with her all the time. And, you know, she didn't get out of, like, addict behavior in 4 years. She was still sort of into the bad guys and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. Shannon, you sound remarkably well put together. Given what you've been through, have you been going to Alateen or something the whole time?
No, I went to therapy right when my mom died, and because my dad's in prison, I never knew him.
Oh my God,
he's in prison for murder.
Have you been supporting yourself since you were 8?
No, my second cousin adopted me. Mm. He's my real mom's cousin, and his wife, and so I've been living with them, and you know, they treat me well, and I went to therapy, and I had a self-mutilation thing in high school, but I got over that because, I don't know, I've learned to, like, take care of myself, so.
Fabulous.
The thing is that I don't know what to do, like.
All right, so now are you still seeing therapist?
No.
Maybe
no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm in college now, and I went to therapy again when I started my mutilation, so I was there junior year. And some a senior year, but I felt the need not to go anymore.
Maybe it's time to go again.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I just, like, I mean, I don't want to have to deal with this.
Well, then that's one thing you can do is not deal with it, not to be around this guy and just forget.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't told him yet, and is it necessary to say, you know, I can't be with you anymore, or do I have to be like, I can't be with you because your dad's a molester, because I don't know if he knows that.
You should change your name to Lucky, Shannon.
No.
I mean, boy, it's almost.
Don't you think you should just get rid of this guy so you can rid of all that and start seeing us, start talking to somebody again?
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. Was this guy ever reported?
Yeah, he was reported. Okay. And he didn't come around anymore because he would sexually abuse me, and then he would also, like, throw me up against beds and stuff that. Because, like, one big upset was my grandpa. He was an alcoholic, and we walked in, and there was blood everywhere, and I found him in the back, passed out, my grandfather. And that night we came home, and Bob, he molested me and then just threw me up against the bed, and I had to go to the hospital because my back was screwed up.
Oh, my God.
And so after that, my mom got rid of him, and someone new came in, but anyway.
Was he also an abuser?
Yeah, all of my mom's boyfriends were. She didn't get out of that yet.
But they were all guys that abused you?
And her, yeah.
What about this guy you're dating now? How is he treating you?
He's pretty cool, actually. I mean, he's my old boyfriend. He was really nice, but he was, like, passive-aggressive, so I tried to get out of that.
Yeah, because if the dad was a molester, isn't this guy that you're dating now, at least he's got something wiry, screwy thing going on with him, probably.
I would think he'd be screwed up, too, but, I mean, I'm not screwed up. At least I don't think I am.
You are remarkable, given the trauma you've been through. I mean, definitely. I can't even believe it. And you sort of need to check in with therapists, because you've got to have had some real serious... effects from this, and it's something that needs to be tuned up regularly. And here you've had something that sort of stirred a lot of things up. get back in there and talk things out and see what you should do with this. There may be people that would think confronting this guy would be a good thing. I'm not one of those people. I think keeping him out of your life, get away, forget it.
You think that's good?
Getting away is the right thing to do. Not deal with this guy at all. You don't owe your friend anything, unfortunately. But
I agree.
Get out of
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like that. I want to get out of it. I just don't know how. Do I have to
just do it?
Do I have to give him a reason?
You don't know.
Not appropriate.
How long you had your friend for?
Well, I just met him at work like 5 months ago.
You don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
Just take care of yourself. You have a right to that.
You sound great. Start talking to someone again, and man, hopefully your life will go okay. Enough with the bad luck.
Oof.
Thanks, wow. Shannon.
All right, no problem.
Sort of inspiring, Shannon, that you can be as well as you are.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, and not snooty. Link.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man? You're 27.
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Very good.
I got a question. When I'm having sex with my girlfriend, my Johnson, doesn't stay hard all the time, or sometimes I can't even get it hard. We're going to have sex.
Are you wearing a condom?
No.
Are you on medication?
Never taken any medication or anything.
Are you, okay, keep
did
going.
It go limp with your past women?
Yeah, it has. This has been going on for about, I'd say probably maybe 4 years.
Why didn't you get this checked out?
Actually, I did.
And?
One time I was feeling my nuts and I felt a lump and I went to the doctor. They did an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said basically it was like extra fluid in there and that was it. Yeah,
that's what's causing you to go limp?
Right, no, I doubt it.
I don't know.
That doesn't sound right.
It's a cystocele, no.
When I told the doctor what was going on, and I told him about the lump and then the limpness, he said, well, we'll treat one thing at a time, and that was basically all that happened.
What did he treat?
Nothing. He didn't do anything.
I thought he was going to treat one thing at a time.
That I don't know. That's why I didn't know if I should see maybe another doctor. I only have an HMO, so it's basically my doctor is my doctor.
You really do need to check this out further, because the cyst in your testy is not... It can affect this, but I doubt that it's enough to really cause
this. But the mind
kind of
F going on, because you're limp, even when you'll be able to not be limp, is just going to screw you in the long run.
Are you able to masturbate okay?
Sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes no. It gets aggravating, you know? You go to do
it. Do you wake up with erections in the morning?
Not often, very seldom.
It really sounds like something biological going on.
You must be a eunuch.
No, like you really do need to get this checked out. There's many, many different.
How do they check that out though? You go, I can't get an erection, and then they what do they do?
You start with endocrinologic work. You get prolactin levels. You get thyroid levels.
But every time he goes to the doctor, he'll mention the limp. He'll mention the cyst, and that's all they're going to care about.
No,
the
cyst. Right. They're going to do what I do. Go, that couldn't be it. It couldn't
and
be.
When
it.
You go there, they ask you right off the bat what's wrong, and it's some nurse, and it's kind of.
The scarier thing is them just tossing you some Viagra and sending you out, because you really need a diagnosis.
God, I got a good story for you.
You need a what?
About Viagra. I have a funny story.
All right, ready? I get it. You need a diagnosis. Like I'm real concerned about, really particularly concerned about, like, there's a book out there called Man-Made that's about what happens to guys when they get pituitary tumors, and you're describing it pretty well. So that kind of thing can cause what you're describing, right?
Do you think there's a chance he can be out of the woods, so to speak, and be able to...
Oh, can be cured, yeah.
Oh, all right, Link. So go see the doctor, man.
Cool.
Once again.
Will do, guys.
Good luck with the erection.
Yeah. All right. Go get the book Man Made, and you'll see what it's all about.
So my friend, I'll just call him the General,
mm-hmm.
works here in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
went to a bachelor party 3 weeks ago, Cabo San Lucas, which is the funnest place to go for a bachelor party. I went last year to one. You can buy Viagra like that out there.
It's over the counter, yeah.
Right over the counter. Most of the guys on the trip were married, except for like three of them.
Mm.
They bought a bunch of Viagra, and then they hired a guy. You know, they bang your head, and they do the tequila popper, and they shove it out.
Giggling Marlin.
Exactly. So they hired him to come to their room, and they put Viagra, two Viagra each, in the three non-married guys.
Oh, no.
Tequila. So they do it, they drink it, they have no idea. And of course, all the other guys, it's just a game now, watching these guys. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one guy starts scratching his nuts a little bit, like moving, doing the basic shift. These guys had erections for 7 hours.
Funny, but not, because what happens after that?
What happens?
They have trouble having erection, getting hard.
I think they're doing fine. But they were able to have like six orgasms, because there's a place out there. That allows stuff, from what I hear.
What?
And never mind.
No way.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
The Viagra does not do anything to orgasm.
No, I know, but it keeps you erect.
Yeah, but if you can only have two orgasms, that's all you're going to have. You're just going to still stay erect.
All I know is the erections lasted like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, and they get painful after a while. Oh, and then it's trouble to ever have it again.
Well, they became very proud of it after a while, actually, walking around Mexico. So there's a trick for everyone that you
very
can probably
scary.
Use.
Very scary.
Weekend at Bernie?
Yes.
27.
Quick question for you guys.
Yeah?
First of all, let me say, Dr. Drew, I've loved you for years. Loved you with Poor Man.
Wow.
Loved you with Ricky. Loved you with Adam. Loved you with Stryker.
Bernie, God bless you.
Let me just say, I'm 27, 315 pounds.
You're fat. Yeah.
True.
Thank you.
Drew, easy.
And my doctor and I are considering stomach stapling. I don't know the technical term. There's some technical term for it.
Yeah.
And he gives me pros, he gives me cons, and I'm supposed to reach a decision.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you can give me some advice.
All right.
How much does that cost, first of all, out of curiosity?
I'd imagine about $7,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
I bet you. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But here's the deal. If you have made a good faith attempt, if you had seen a dietitian, you followed a diet, you've done exercise programs, if there's evidence of genetic heritage of people having a lot of weight in your family system, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to lose that weight. The surgical approach to obesity is very effective and very good. Make no mistake about it. It is a big and serious operation, and there can be lots of complications, not the least of which are infection and pulmonary emboli and death and heart attacks, and things can happen intraoperatively and around and postoperatively. And they fall apart sometimes, need to be redone. There's lots of things. However, that all being said, obesity itself is a very serious condition to have your whole life, and you're trying to intervene on a potentially life-threatening problem, and it's worth some of those risks, and the surgeries do work. They really do work. They've been the only thing that ever shows sustained permanent weight loss.
That's what the Wilson girl had?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie, which way are you leaning right now?
I'm leaning towards actually doing it, because I had tried everything. I tried Fenfen, the dietitian, you know, all sorts of madness, and it's too much. I've had it.
All right. Then go.
So that's where I'm heading.
Phobie pouch is one of the good procedures.
What is it called again?
Phobie pouch.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dr. Drew. Yeah.
All right. See you later, Bernie. All right, we got to take a break. We are still waiting for Weezer to show up. They're running late. Been looking forward to this day for a long time. Then I found out Rivers isn't coming. But Scott and Pat, cool guys. They're going to be in here if you want to speak to Weezer. Don't start calling right now to talk to them. Wait till they're definitely here. And then we can get you on the line, put you on hold, and hopefully you can speak to those guys. I'm Stryker in for Adam, and that's Drew. And more Love Line is coming up in just a minute. Hold on. On Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Stryker in for Adam Carolla, who's in Europe. Dr. Drew is here. And ladies and gentlemen, we got 2 fours, 50% of Weezer that just stepped in.
All right.
No thanks to their limo driver.
Dude.
Pat, of course, played drums. You're here. You're to my right. You have a fishing hat on. Good
That's
to see
right.
you, man.
Thank you.
And Scott, what's going on with you? Bass, a little vocal action.
Doing good. Feeling good.
Feeling good, Lewis. Looking good, Billy Ray.
Exactly.
What's going on with you guys? I mean, that's a broad question, but...
We're on vacation right now, actually. We just got back from Europe and did the festivals over there, and now we're here getting our houses back in order and not seeing each other until now.
Huh. And then what about the next tour? Who's going with you?
Boy, that's so far away.
I have no idea.
Because I've heard of everybody... Wait, the last one had Jimmy Eat World... Or not, right?
Jimmy Eat World was a couple tours ago.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you guys have been on so many, it seems like short tours.
Jimmy Eat World, we did Saves the Day,
yeah.
And then Dashboard Confessional.
Exactly.
So, bam. On Sparta.
And what about the bands that you bring out? Is that your choice, like the guys from Saves the Day? You're like, we like the emo stuff. How does that work? Just whiny bands?
It's an agent thing. Our agent, Don Muller's genius. He's like, dudes, I know just what to do.
And you're like, okay. Where's your manager tonight?
You know, he said they're gonna ask where is he, and he's like, he's really shy. So he was like,
well, I've had him on my little K-Rock radio show before, and we get along well.
He right does. On. He likes you a lot.
Well, thanks. Don't wink now. Like, no, he doesn't.
No way. I'm not winking.
All right. I'm gonna let the kids ask you a lot of the questions as we go. I mean, I've got so many as well, but I'm sure theirs are gonna be more eloquent and even better. Emily.
Hi. Okay, my question was actually directed at Rivers, so hopefully you guys will know what I'm talking about.
Turn down your radio.
Sorry. Okay. My question was directed at Rivers. But
we heard you the first time, yeah?
Sorry. Okay.
As loud as her radio was, she didn't hear what we were talking about.
Sorry. Okay. I read the article in Rolling Stone about how Rivers has this formula for writing songs and how it's, like, related to math, and he tapped into Kurt Cobain's. And I'm just like, how can you relate math to songwriting?
Well, that was actually a lie.
That was all.
He was goofing.
Lie.
He was goofing.
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's all a big lie.
Oh my god.
He didn't go to Harvard for nothing.
I'm so embarrassed. I thought that was so cool. Okay.
Well, it is cool, but it's a lie.
Think okay. What a creative goof that was.
Okay.
I mean, you got to say something in those 20-page nonsense. No, actually, they're always good articles in Rolling Stone, but you got to say something to those writers.
Well, there's actually a grain of truth in it, though. Like, the song verse, chorus, verse, I think on In Utero is kind of like, that was his formula that I think he was getting frustrated at. And we start to screw around with songs all the time, and we kind of come back to that sort of set up. So I guess there is some truth to it.
Okay.
Do you have another question while you're here, Emily?
Okay, I just sort of like, okay, would you guys ever consider playing smaller venues again?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to talk those guys into maybe thinking about doing maybe like a theater kind of tour.
Like my dream is to see you guys at the Fillmore. I mean, that'd be so awesome.
Is that in San Fran?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can make it happen.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to make it happen.
You are?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I love you.
All right. See you.
See you later, Emily.
Thank you.
Man, of course, the video that you guys recently did with Marcos Siega.
Oh, Marcos is a man.
Damn, that thing is good. And he also did the Hashpipe video.
Right.
And whose idea? How did that come about? Drew, I don't know if you've seen the video. They got all the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
In their video.
Nice.
And it's really, really, really good.
It was Pepe's idea.
Pepe?
The King Prawn.
The King Prawn.
Yeah.
He's the King Prawn, okay?
from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Good answer. Okay, let's...
Do we have love questions, or is it all going to be...
No, yeah, we have one right here. John.
Hey.
What's up? You're 19.
Yeah, I'm 19. I just wanted to tell Weezer that I saw you guys in Atlanta with Dashboard and Sparta, and you guys rocked.
Right. Thank you. Oh,
thank you.
Sparta's
thank
a great band.
Atlanta was huge.
Yeah, I'd been waiting since the Blue Album to see you guys play, and then I had just gotten into Sparta, and man, I can't tell you how much fun we had at that.
Right on, man.
It was a festival of rock.
Yeah, it was awesome. Fire, man. Elevated the drums, spitting fire everywhere. That was so awesome.
Right on, dude.
Okay, my question is, I have this friend for a long time, and I've been a long time listener for the show, and Stryker, you're doing great.
Thanks, man.
And don't even miss Adam.
Hmm.
And,
who's Adam?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unacceptable.
Thank you, John.
I had this friend, and Drew, I heard him say, you know, if you have feelings for a friend, you should just go ahead and say it. And so I was alone with her one night, and I was like, listen, I've really liked you ever since I first met you. And for a while, we had kind of had a romantic thing. We had never had anything defined. But now she's got a boyfriend. And so after I told her this, we had this one night of fun, I guess you could call it. And ever since then, she hadn't called me back or anything.
She has a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
She's ashamed of what she did. She's embarrassed. She doesn't know how to handle it. She's afraid her boyfriend will find out. She's worried about what she's done to her friendship.
Or maybe she just had sex with you or fooled around just to get you off her back for a while.
I hope that's not the truth.
Well, you never know.
Well, don't call her. Whatever you do, do not call her.
Don't call?
No, hell no.
Wait till she breaks up with her boyfriend, and or else maybe can you send her an email or a letter or something saying, you know, if such a time should come that you break up, let me know.
Let's fool around again, baby. Let's do it on the hammock in Hotlanta.
Okay, well, I told her, you know, I'd rather have friendship than something romantic, but, you know.
I'm suspicious she can't reconcile those feelings. I bet there is something a little more there with her, and that's what's scaring her. That's why she has to avoid you.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
It screws up her boyfriend relationship. If she has to deal with those feelings she has for you, it's going to pull her away from that relationship with her boyfriend. She doesn't really want that right now. It's too confusing.
You got to play it cool, man.
But do make it be known to her that in such time, should such time occur that she is no longer with him, you're standing by.
All right.
All right?
All right. Thanks a lot for the info. Love you guys' show.
Right, see you later, John.
Thanks.
All right. Shelly.
Yes.
What's up? You're 17.
I have a question for Pat.
Hey.
I really, really love your band, The Special Goodness. I think you guys totally rock.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you guys would be touring in the Orange County, LA area in like little venues and stuff.
We want to play a ton of shows all throughout SoCal and even up north. And if you go to the website, you'll see that it'll be scheduled and you'll be happy along with us.
Awesome. And I just want to say, Scott, you totally rock.
Oh, thanks.
You're like the best bassist, and you're so sexy, so yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
He has no sleeves on his shirt tonight there, Shelly.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
He's flexing his muscles when he's sitting here, too.
Oh!
All right, Shelly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelly.
Bye.
Pat, why are drummers so ridiculous in the brain?
I don't know.
We had Travis in the other night. Travis from the Blink. 87 bands now.
Right, right.
Blink and Boxcar Racer Blink, and Boxer. The transplants that he's doing with Tim from Rancid. And
right,
you
right.
got this side band thing going.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it just because you have the time, because you play drums, you drum, you're in the studio, and you're out, and you can just go to 87 other things?
I don't know. I don't know what it is about drummers. Like, either they're the least musician-like people in the band, or they can do other things, too.
All right. Becky.
Making them still the least musician type
exactly.
people.
Right.
Actually,
yeah.
But Travis is the best in Blink when it comes to musicianship, I think.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. It takes a certain kind of human to be able to play the drums. It really does. It's a different kind of species altogether, I'm convinced.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
As am I. Becky.
Hi.
What's up? You're 37.
37, I know. That's pretty bad.
Almost as old as Drew.
I've been listening for a long time since you guys had you and Adam and Ricky Rackman.
Wow, way back.
Yeah, way back. Anyway, Stryker, you're doing a great job.
Thanks,
hello,
Becky.
Ann, and happy birthday, Drew. You're going to have to go home and ask your wife for a BJ.
Thank you, Becky. I'll be sure to tell her that you asked me to say that.
This is far too...
I gave one to my boyfriend on his birthday, so...
God bless you.
It's a nice thing.
You should give Drew one next year on his birthday.
Good time.
No,
that's
all right.
Times.
Good times. Hey, I was wondering about harvesting sperm after a man has had a vasectomy for a very long time.
All right, like what about it?
Like 25 years.
What about it?
Well, is it safe? Is it
safe in what sense?
I'm sorry?
In what sense safe? What would be the problem?
Let's put it this way. Does it even work that well?
It may not work very well. And I don't know what the numbers are, but it's going to be difficult.
It's like Pepto-Bismol. It's good for about 8 years. After that, it may help you.
It's difficult. So,
do they just dry up after a certain amount of time?
It's more, well, they do anyway. But it's more that already that's a procedure. It's not 100%. So
yeah.
But it's worth a try. Certainly worth a try. Might
it's
go
very expensive, so I don't know, you know, if we're even going to get that far, but I was just kind of wondering about.
You got to do it soon. There's a cliff there at 40 where the probability of you being able to get pregnant really starts dropping off.
Yeah.
Dramatically.
Yeah, I've never had any children, but I would like to. So.
But the probabilities are starting to, by the day, fall off dramatically. You need to do it now.
Do it now, Becky.
All right.
Squeeze out that kid in the Mile High City.
Convince him first.
All right. There
you go. Next caller! Goodbye, Becky.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, Colin.
Yes.
You're 17. What's up?
Hi. I wanted to ask Pat about what he thinks his best drum album is.
Yeah.
Personally?
I think it's Rush, probably.
Yeah.
Neil Peart did pretty well.
Hell yeah.
All right, what do you think your best drum album
is? Oh, yeah. All right. They're all bad. No, probably the last one, actually. I thought, especially with Scott, I had a ton of fun, and it was really cool.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And also, do you have any tips for recording and songwriting for a young band?
No. Just do what you love, and eventually you'll stop doing what you don't like. And you just keep doing it. Like, just keep your head down and keep plowing through, and eventually you'll be really satisfied.
And lastly, if you do a theater tour, are you familiar with the Phoenix Theater in Petaluma?
Oh, my God. Dude, I played there a long time ago in this whack band.
Like 10 times.
It's awesome. Petaluma, I can't believe you said that.
Now he's excited.
Where's Petaluma?
The Muppets thing got us nowhere.
Exactly.
Where's Petaluma?
It's a little town near Santa Rosa. It's kind of like down the five there. I think it's the five. Northern California.
Yeah.
If you do a theater tour, do you think you'd be interested in playing there?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
And if you did, could we open for you?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, Colin.
Who is we? Just so he knows, so he knows who he's looking for. Who is we, Colin?
Apple.
Apple.
Name's Hazel.
I will see at the show. Just bring your gear and we'll work it out.
Just show up. Just we'll make it happen.
Oh boy,
Colin, invite me. I want to go see you open up for these guys.
Okay.
All right, dude.
You think for a second he won't be there?
See that. He is calling every one of his friends. Anyone that'll listen. We're opening for Weezer when they're coming to Petaluma. Oh my God, Pat! In the Muppets video for Keep Fishing, you work mostly with the Muppets because you were kidnapped by lovely Miss Piggy.
That's right.
So how was it working with that lady?
It was insane. I mean, I'm sitting there in a chair, and an inch from my face is Miss Piggy, and
or it's the guy operating Miss Piggy.
Well, you don't even notice that though. Like, I swear to God, a guy gets in there, and it's like there's Miss Piggy. It's not even the guy anymore. It's amazing.
How cool was it to have Animal wearing a Weezer shirt?
It was very cool.
I love the little outfits on the guys.
I felt kind of stupid. I was like, man, we're not worthy. Just stop.
No, you're worthy. Well, the two guys that sit in the balcony thought you were half bad. What are you kidding? They're all bad.
I know.
Tim.
Yeah.
You're 17. What's going on?
A couple weeks ago, I got like a tick, like a bug on my member.
Your penis?
Don't! Yeah.
Bad camping episode.
Like, I told my dad about it, and he told me to, like, to pull it straight out, like, straight, so it didn't, like, get its head stuck in there and stuff. And I did it, and, like, now when I get an erection, there's, like, a bubble there or something.
Well, it could be just a little scar, healing scar or wound, something from what you tear out a bunch of skin when you do that oftentimes.
A little trauma.
Yeah.
So how long should we wait to see if that bump goes down? Okay. How did tick get on your wiener?
Yeah, dude, what's up with that?
I live, like, out in the boondocks in Oklahoma.
Right.
Ticks carry a lot of disease. You been okay?
Yeah.
Is there any rash on the penis?
No. It's just like a red bump, like a bubble under there, and it only comes up whenever I get an erection.
All right. It's probably just, again, the tissue healing. You might, unfortunately, want someone to look at it. There's something called erythema chronica migrans, which is a precursor to Lyme disease. That is a rash that occurs at the site of the tick bite. And God knows there's tons of other tick diseases, so if you get any fever or any other rash, you get seen by somebody right away, okay?
Okay, and I got one more question.
Sure.
I've never met my real mom before, and I was wondering if you had, like, some numbers that I could call to try to find her, I wouldn't have to have a parent's permission, because my dad doesn't want me to find her.
What's up with your stepmom?
She's a major... B word.
Bitch!
Well, unfortunately, I think you upsetting your dad is going to make things worse for you than any potential good that could come from finding your mom.
Because
your mom is someone that abandoned a child at a young age, and believe me, she's going to be a piece of work if she's even still around.
Well, I didn't plan on telling him that I was going to find her. I just wanted to find her and call her and tell her that...
But he'll find out eventually, there's no doubt.
Well,
it's a fantasy you have that this woman's going to save you from this unpleasant environment you're in. That is a pure fantasy.
It's not really that unpleasant. It's just, I mean, I don't want to get away from her. I just want to know who she is.
All right.
What's wrong with that, probably?
Like medical history.
All right,
you know.
All right, fair enough. I don't know any phone numbers you would call offhand. You were not adopted, right? You were just your mom just left.
No, my dad left. My dad left.
Do you have any idea what her last name is?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, maybe go by the internet.
Call the
something?
Internet just to check things out. Of her,
dude. Yahoo People Search is unbelievable. You can pay and they'll tell you. They'll give you a list of people's phone numbers and their addresses. I did a search on someone in my high school, and I didn't want to pay $20 to find out where they were, but...
You didn't sell enough albums last time.
I know. I couldn't believe it, though. I mean, that's a cool place to start. Try that. Yahoo
there you go.
People search.
All right.
Yahoo People.
One last question for Weezer.
It. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys all play Fenders, or is that you guys lead play Gibson?
The homeboy switches it up all the time, whoever that guy is in the middle. What's his name? Oh, yeah. And I play Fender basses. That's my thing.
Yeah, it's all about Fender.
Oh.
You guys just got two new guitars and a bass. And drums. All right, Tim.
All right.
What do you play, Tim?
Do what?
What do you play?
I play an Ibanez Artist Series.
Nice.
All right, gotta go, man. Talk to you.
You just upset Scott. Oh, damn it, Scott. Wait, when you guys, before you recorded Green Album, Rivers was living, he told me, by the 10 and the 405. Where were you guys living? He was living in a city.
First, we were living at Park La Brea.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Which is like those wacky 1930s installations done by, right, you know, Farmer's Market.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys on the TV show with us way back when or something?
No, I was not.
I remember somebody telling us they were living in Park La Brea, and I don't remember meeting you guys, so it doesn't make sense to me. Have we met before here?
No.
No.
I lived at La Brea in Santa Monica.
Okay.
Up till about a year ago.
I left La Brea in Santa Monica. Yeah, what are you kidding?
It's a heavy neighborhood.
And you're still alive. Good for you. Good God. All right, we have to take a break here at Loveline. When we get back, we're going to talk to Sam, who's out in Colorado. He wants to talk to Weezer about the philosophy, if they're deep, if they're not, the sound and all that. And more of your calls with Weezer, and I'm striking for Adam and Dr. Drew. More Loveline. Hold on. We're back. Yeah, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Don't make that face, Nasreddin. I can see you from here. Scott and Pat are here from the lovely band Weezer. Guys have been extremely successful for years, and then now you're here, sitting at Loveline. This is cool for me to have you guys.
It's the culmination of a career for me.
I can't believe it was the first time.
It is. The culmination. Drew, you've been puzzled about this first time.
I know.
It's been like half an hour.
It's good to see him puzzled.
Yeah, but you're scaring me, dude. Calm down, man. Sam, 16. Talk to Weezer.
I just want to say I saw you guys at Red Rocks, and you guys rocked it totally.
Right on. Thanks,
man. And I saw you, Scott, Pat, I saw you riding your bike around, and that was really cool.
Nice.
And I was just wondering if there's a really major event that has changed or inspired your musical style.
Good question.
Yeah, my first concert, I'm going to date myself, but 1984 era Van Halen.
Yeah.
It was huge. Couldn't hear a thing, but it looked really cool.
Where'd you see it at?
Buffalo Memorial Auditorium.
Is that a horrible
place.
Is that when he was flying through the air at the shows, like on ropes or something like that?
No, he was like stumbling at that point. So it was really cool.
And I'd say for me it was about 87 was the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Fishbone were touring together, and they were in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hillel was still playing guitar for Red Hots.
Wow.
Oh, it was heavy. I'd never seen a show like that in my life. It blew my mind.
Oh, you know what? I got to update that because I saw Primus at the Warfield in 90. Right after Frizzle Fry came out, and that completely blew my mind. Thank you very much.
I remember that Chili Peppers Fishbone tour thing. Dude, that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
I had a high school baseball coach that turned me on to Chili Peppers.
Right.
Coach Doherty, if you're listening, hello. Yeah, and ever since that, man, that changed my whole musical taste.
I'd never seen anybody perform like that and then play that well at the same time.
Yeah, that's
up
cool.
To that point.
Definitely. All right, Sam, thanks for calling.
Thanks, and I'd like to say, Dr. Drew, I really respect your opinions.
Thanks.
All right,
bye,
Sam.
Good job, Drew. All right. On that note, let's hear a song from Maladroit, which came out in May, didn't it, or something like that. Yeah, and the second single is called "Keep Fishing," and let's hear that right now. This is "Keep Fishing" from Weezer right now on Loveline.
Bye.
Weezer, Keep Fishing. We are running way behind, but more of Weezer and more of Loveline is coming up after this. Going on, you guys? This is Loveline. We have 50% of Weezer here. Pat is here, and here comes Scott running in from outside. It's pretty cool when there's a when there's big guests at Loveline.
Oh yeah.
Outside, a lot of the kids gather, which is cool. That's got to make you feel good.
Nice bunch of kids too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning, a lot of the eBay hounders, like, they want your signature and then they want to sell it on eBay.
Those
I think
losers.
They're gone. And then you got the new. I mean, you got the real deal kids out there.
Yeah,
right
those
now.
Are those yeah. are all the real deal.
And that's cool, right, for you guys?
Yeah,
did you drive all the way out here?
Yeah, it's very. It makes us feel very nice.
I feel good.
Let me feel you and see. Mm-hmm. You do feel good.
You
He's
look
warm.
Good. You look fantastic. All right, Tony Lynn.
Hey.
You're 20 on Loveline.
Yes. I just want to say that I went to the Irvine show and you guys totally rocked. And I have a question for Scott.
Okay.
Okay. I want to know what's the best thing that has happened since joining Weezer, and what's the worst thing, as in like any hard transitions.
I think at first people were a little skeptical about me because I might have appeared to be a little different than what they were used to.
Because he's so hardcore. Because he's tatted up with muscles.
Yeah, but then I think everybody just, I just went up and played and tried to be myself and just showed up and did the best I could. And it seemed like everybody kind of, I guess that nobody had any choice. So they just kind of gave in. And I've just had a lot of, felt like I've had a lot of support over this year, and it's been the best year of my life, so it's been great.
So Scott, you're in now, right?
As in as a guy could be,
right?
I would say.
And
he's my boss, so you have to ask him.
How is how's your other guy doing? Is he still locked up or loony or
I don't know.
You don't have to.
I don't know.
He's doing great. He's got his own thing going on, and okay. I've been hearing great things. So
all right. Well, I think you're doing a great
Thanks,
job.
Man.
I mean, you have a lot of stage presence out there, and I like that you're not exactly the same as everybody in the band. Not that Pat, you know, not that everyone's the exact same in the band, but you bring a total different flavor,
yeah.
And your style of playing, I think, is a tad different as well.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
He plays a lot of slap bass.
Yeah. No, Tony Lynn, anything else?
Can I actually give a quick shout-out to the Weezer.com board members? I just want to say hi.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely a good idea.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, you guys.
All right.
See ya.
All right, bye.
Hey, Kyler.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 14.
Yeah. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Kyler.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew?
Hey, Kyler.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
And Weezer, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Hi.
Drew, you know, you should have your wife give you a BJ when you get home.
I will mention... I will mention that, what was the caller's name that asked me to tell her that? And that you brought it up.
She was from Denver.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know her name. Go ahead, Kyler.
Anyways, I gave oral sex to my girlfriend yesterday. It was her birthday.
Yes, Kyler.
Anyways.
14 giving oral sex.
Good job, kid.
Dude, how old is she?
Seven. She's 15.
Nice.
Oh. I was just wondering, am I still considered a virgin?
Yes.
Well, it's sort of, it's still a technicality. You're no longer chaste, right? And
yeah.
You're experienced. But you're technically a virgin.
You still haven't inserted the...
And what's strange about the whole notion of virginity is that the kinds of stuff that you're engaged in at 14 was something that people would be, like, imprisoned for even 20 years into a marriage. Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yet 14-year-olds are engaging in this, and I'm wondering, am I still a virgin?
Kyle, so do you think that's second base or third base what you did?
Probably second base.
Dude, that's second base.
Dude.
It's all changed now.
Where I
it's
came
all
from, that, that'd be like eighth base.
Yeah. Right. From at least my peer age, it's that came long after rounding home.
So what would be third base? Her performing on you?
No, it's also second.
No, I know. I'm asking him. Huh?
Yeah.
And a home run is the whole sex thing.
Dude, what was I doing when I was 14? Man.
You were playing
like
drum.
I'm blowing up frogs.
Exactly.
Man. You're still a virgin, but man, you are experienced, Kyler.
Yeah, way to go, Kyler.
Thank you.
Just make sure you do it soft and don't go too hard on her.
Thank you.
All right, dude, good luck.
I heard the Trojans coming out with some new device to sort of replace the dental dam to help people do safe sex.
Oh, cool.
I haven't quite heard what it is yet, but it's going to be something that is more acceptable to people, apparently.
Do you have access to the products before they come out, or you just know about them before they come out?
I just hear about stuff, yeah.
Why don't you get on the mailing list?
Actually get it?
Yes.
I will.
Please. Yeah. Ashley.
Hi.
Hi, you're 14.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I first wanted to say that I love you guys, and thanks. You're awesome, but my question was, what mainly for Pat, what video did you like making and being in the most? Because I know in the past you had a little problem, and you got frustrated, and you actually threatened to wear a bunny suit in the next video if you still had to play drums and just sit there. But, yeah.
He knows a lot about you. What's this with the bunny suit?
At one point, we were just... nobody was on the same page, and we were just like, F this. I'm going to wear a bunny suit. You can wear a bear suit, and we'll just, like, do cartwheels. I think it would have been great, but it just didn't work out.
We'll do cartwheels.
It would be awesome.
Breakdancing would have been better, but what's your favorite video that that you guys have done?
They've all been pretty fun, except for a couple, like, during... the Pinkerton era, but I have to say the one with the animals was a mind-bending experience.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
The second island video was just, it was crazy.
How cute were the chimpanzees?
I don't know, because I was scared the whole time.
Golden retrievers, chimpanzees, what else was in there?
A bear.
Yeah.
Two bears.
Right.
A panther.
They filmed their video with all live little baby animals.
Why didn't they just computerize, stick them in there?
I don't know.
You're really scared about them.
What was the first concept of the video you did first, though? It was
the Mexican wedding.
Yeah, the Mexican wedding. I liked that video.
Everyone likes that video.
I liked it also. I did like the animals too. So, all right, Ashley.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you want to give a shout out to the website also? No, I'm just kidding.
Not really.
Okay, good.
Like, I'd like to say hi to my.
Never mind. See, there goes the floodgates right there. Let's go here. Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 28.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Listen, I've just got, I mean, this is pathetic because I'm 28 years old, but I started dating again because I got divorced. And the thing is, I've had to keep it a secret from, like, my mom knows I've been seeing somebody occasionally.
You had to keep the divorce secret from your mom?
No.
The fact that you're dating, you had to keep secret from your 70-year-old mom.
No, she's not even 70. She's in her 50s. Aunt is, like, 82, and she doesn't even want me dating at all.
Why?
Until when? Or
it's just, like, a family thing.
She what's up with that?
She doesn't like outsiders. And I mean, it's
where did your husband
know what the alternative
is?
Hillbilly music.
Yeah.
Anderson. Music. Come on, stop spacing out.
Deliverance music. Let's go.
Stop.
Where did your husband come from?
That's right.
What now?
Where did your husband come from?
Was, brother.
Was he biologically related?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, well, did they not like him to begin with?
No, actually, they do like him. We just had some differences. We had a nice, clean divorce. We have a child.
What happened?
He was a lot older than me. I found out, you know, he'd had a history of drinking. It just didn't work. So we had a nice clean break, you know, for the sake of my son. And I purposely have not brought the guy around that I've been seeing, you know, because when we went through the divorce, we had to go through a children's seminar that's required by the state. And they said, you know, don't be bringing basically, you know, men in and out, so that the kids can get attached to him. So it's like I followed everything by the book, but, you know.
Why do you need your mom's approval, Kathy? I mean, who says you have to bring the dude over anyway?
Right, that's the thing, but it's like, you know, like tomorrow night I was going to go over to his house, and I've had to lie about it. I told him I was going to a dinner on heartworm preventative for dogs because I work at a veterinary.
What?
I know. Very creative.
That's awesome.
But my aunt doesn't want me dating at all.
Your aunt? What do you care? You're 28.
Well,
I mean, you're a grown woman.
I know, but whenever I say something to her, you know, she'll start crying. I mean, she's older. She's kind of like my grandmother to me.
Kathy, what do you want from us?
What do I do to stop, like, the control issues? Because, I mean, I can't. They were even hacked off because I went out and got a dog when I moved. They said they're not even going to come visit me because I've got this dog.
You ignore it. If they want to have the grandchild in their life, if they want you in their life, They have to respect you as a separate person with your own volitional and your own needs and your own ability to conduct your own life. If they can't handle that, that's too effing bad. And they lose. Now, to be sensitive to them and not be hurtful to them, I understand that. If you want to kind of hide out a little bit from them, I understand that too. But for you to have your life actually controlled by them is ludicrous.
Well, and that's the thing where I have a problem is because I was hospitalized with both. I had problems with anorexia and bulimia.
I was going to say, you're a setup for anorexia.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, it's getting ready to throw me back into basically a relapse, and I've been recovered for probably 7 years.
Why don't you get back with your therapist and figure out why this enmeshment, this incredible intrusion from your mother is something that you can't set limits with now. And maybe you need the support of a therapist in order to make that happen, to do those boundary-setting kinds of maneuvers. Okay?
Okay.
Because you're going to have to do it. They're just under your skin, and they're going to destroy you. They're going to make you sick again.
So far, the calls from Oklahoma, a tick on the wiener. Kid.
Right. I'm still freaked out about that.
We don't like outsiders.
And the girl cannot date.
Right.
And she's 28. Oklahoma or coincidence?
I've been to, dude, I'm going to tell you a story right now about Tulsa.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
What?
Oh, come on.
come on, dude.
We're playing Tulsa. I'm on my bike. I run into a drug deal on the other side of the freeway with Mikey. And I'm like, all right. Let's get out of here. Then the drug deal goes bad, and, like, people are running, screaming, driving their cars through lawns. I'm like, I'm out. Yes. I can't believe I'm still alive.
So you guys bring your bikes on tour with you? Little mountain bikes or cruisers or what?
I have a
what?
BMX bike.
Nice. Can you do tricks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, like, X Games style.
Easy. Andrea.
Yeah?
You're 14.
Oh, my God. I'm on?
Yeah.
Oh, rock on.
You're on with Jeremy McGrath.
Hmm?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, Weezer, you guys are like, oh my God, you guys are my idols.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, Scott and Pat, you guys rock it out.
Right on.
I was wondering, what is the most rewarding thing about being in a band? Like Weezer.
You're lesbian.
Drew, please.
I'm constantly amazed that people come watch us play rock music every time.
Yeah, you guys are amazing in concert. I can't get enough of you.
Well, we feel the same about everybody, so it's amazing.
I like standing up there and playing songs and seeing people lose their minds.
Yeah,
and there's nothing.
I'm one of them.
Nothing in this world that makes me happier than that. It's like instant gratification, just instant payoff.
Uh-huh.
Play the bass and see people go nuts. So it makes me wild.
Wow. That's awesome. And I have two more questions, if that's all right. Pat and Scott, what are your favorite songs to perform live?
My favorite's Fall Together.
Mm-hmm.
And mine right now is No Other One.
Yeah?
Yep.
Awesome. And I'm kind of starting out as a musician, like songwriting and whatnot. I mean, like I'm 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just learned how to play guitar, and I play trumpet, and I was going to buy an electric guitar, and I want to know what you guys have as recommendations.
Well, I mentioned earlier, but you guys can give another shout-out for the product.
Get the cheapest, nastiest guitar you can find, preferably used.
Yeah, but that's rough, though. If it blows and it's no fun and then you just want to burn it. I'd find an old...
You got to pay your dues, man.
Find an old beat-up Strat or a Les Paul and just give it your best shot.
Right, no one likes the guy who shows up with all the new gear.
No, but when you try to learn how to play an instrument that you hate, it sucks.
Well, you love it, though.
You don't love a Hagstrom. You love a Hagstrom.
Yeah,
I don't love a Hagstrom.
I play an instrument that I hate, so I want to get a good one.
Yeah, go out and find something you love and then borrow the money from your folks. And so when you see the instrument, you're stoked and you're like, I want to play that thing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right, Andrea.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
Hold on, Andrea.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let you do something here. All right. You have Maladroid, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to let you choose the next song that we play off of Maladroit.
Oh, really?
Don't say Dope Nose or Keep Fishing, though, because heard Dope Nose 10,000 times on the radio.
That's a lot of
times. I would say... 20.
I'm no doctor, but that's a lot
of
times.
Take control.
All right. Ooh, that is song
nice
four.
Choice.
So in about 15, 20 minutes, that's going to be all for you, okay?
All right. Awesome.
All right.
You guys rock my socks.
Cool.
They rock your socks.
You rock my socks.
See you later.
Right on. Bye.
Nathaniel.
Hey.
What's up? You're 19.
Wow. Fantabulous. I'm on Loveline. Dr. Drew, happy birthday. It was my birthday, too, yesterday.
Wow. How about that?
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You're a great DJ.
Thanks.
Good to hear you. Weezer, you guys rock.
Thanks,
I saw you guys in the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater a few weeks ago.
Nice.
It was
Don't you mean Irvine Meadows?
Show.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Huge show.
Thanks.
All right, here's the situation.
Your parents went away and everything's fine.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Would they mind? Well, of course not.
Sorry. So here's the situation.
Parents went away on a week's
Would
vacation.
They mind? Well, of course not.
Sorry. here's the situation.
I'm a sophomore at UCSD. And,
they left the keys to the Brandon Porsche.
A sophomore at UCSD.
Okay.
And I have a prescription for Ritalin because I was diagnosed with ADD when I was 16. But, you know, during finals or when I'm working on papers, sometimes, you know, I'll take extra Ritalin or Concerta, which is what I'm prescribed now, which is this long-acting form of Ritalin. I take extra ones to stay up at night. I was wondering, I mean, I know it's unhealthy, but how bad is it?
Do you have a history of alcoholism in your family?
One of my relatives is an alcoholic. I really don't...
Who is that?
My dad's identical twin, actually.
Okay, so that's bad. That means you got that's the gene, even though it may not have manifested in your dad. You got the gene from your dad.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
Well, at least there's a 50% probability of that. And in family histories where there's alcoholism, the children with ADD tend to be the alcoholic kids. And what I see commonly in my clinical practice is that the Ritalin and whatnot helps until the age of about 18. And after that, it tends to start fueling the addictive process. People start abusing stimulants, they start escalating the Ritalin, they start drinking more, and it sounds like you're going down that path. So you need to at least get honest with your doctor about what you're doing here so you can get some guidance about that.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Thanks, Nathaniel.
Thank you.
All right. It's 1-800-LOVE-191 on Loveline. Dustin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you're 26. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't get a chance to get you guys' show very often. You know, come in too clear out here in North San Bernardino, but I was told you guys would be able to answer my question if anybody could.
Who told you?
A buddy of mine who listens to Don Burbank.
Don't you call San Bernardino Burdu?
That's Burdu, man.
San Burdu.
It's happening out here, let me tell you what.
Right on, bro.
My question is this. I had had some complaints as to the potency of my semen, not only in flavor, but also, I want to say, spiciness. There was some discomfort internally. The lady that I'm married to for going on 3.5 years now, it was, the
spicy?
Flavor was more potent than others that she had had. And
let's be honest here. We're not talking about potency. We're saying more disgusting.
Flavor.
More disgusting than other tastes.
Yeah, being quite disgusting, actually. But
quite disgusting.
It's
thank
you. Concern because of that extreme flavor, she is less likely to be concerned orally with it, and also because it's stinging internally elsewhere, it's a concern there as well. Now, a friend of mine said that cutting back on acidy foods like pineapple and things like that would affect the acidity of your semen to where it would be able to affect the flavor and level of...
You need to eat every pineapple off the island of Hawaii to make it burn.
I'm wondering if there's any validity to that whatsoever, Dr. Drew.
Not really. There really is not. Okay. Well, no, I wouldn't say none at all because there's anecdotal evidence out there, but just think about it this way. This is why we explain it to people. If you ate nothing but marshmallows and strawberries for a week...
Right.
Would your poo turn out different? Or we still just have poo?
Well, you could eat corn for 4 days in a row to have a pure corn poop.
You tried that?
It was in Vice magazine.
No, I will bet that you wouldn't still not have just
corn. It was. They had pictures.
No, you wouldn't have just corn then. There'd still be stuff coming.
Pure
corn
poop.
Plain old poop.
Right.
And, oh, wow.
Do you drink any water out there in Purdue?
Oh, plenty. I mean, you know, not the stuff in the faucets out here, obviously. That's deadly. But
you need to stay dehydrated well. I agree with Scott on that one. But there can be also allergic reactions. The vaginal lining can get irritated from men by reacting allergically to it.
That would react differently to mine than...
Are you on a medication?
Previous...
Yes. Not currently. Had you been on the past?
The only thing I've been on for any extended period of time is Accutane.
Well, that's
interesting. I don't know what impact that would have.
Well, it could. Accutane actually takes about a year or two to get out of your system. I wonder if that's somehow...
Is that the acne medication?
Yeah.
Is that
the only thing
it's used for?
Yeah.
Well, the one that recently they found causes suicidal depression and whatnot.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's another matter entirely.
How long have you been off it for?
It's been...
You sound good. That's
years,
what I want to say.
Years.
Couple years
couple
old.
Years.
So that's not likely to be an issue at this point.
Your cum is burning your lady. She's had apparently a lot of wiener semen in her mouth before you.
Does she like Mexican food?
Does she?
Yeah. Because maybe she could just get used to it.
Or maybe she could just spit it out or something. You know what I mean? Just sort of get it out of the way quickly.
What was the term I heard for that? Like her accepting? Forget it. I'll her figure accepting. It out later. I'll tell you later.
All right, tell me later. So what's your question then? Can you can you do anything about diet this? Change
can,
it?
Can you? Yeah. Is there
one, you could make sure there's not an infection, a prostate infection, that kind of thing can cause funny symptoms, and
right.
So seeing a urologist might be an okay thing to do. Not an unwise thing to do, let's put it that way. Staying well hydrated, as Scott mentioned, but beyond that, there may not be much else you can do at this point.
I'd feel so weird if I was that guy. Honey, when I was licking a wiener 2 years ago, his semen just was fantastic compared to yours. Oh. Yours is just so so spicy. And, you know, when you let it go inside of me, it burns. When the last guys did it, inside of me with no condom.
Of course, you would go, I've had dozens, hundreds maybe of guys. Right. Not one of them burned me.
When Peter North shot it through my skull... Michael? Michael?
Yeah?
Speak up, you're 15.
Hey, yeah. I just wanted to ask Pat and Scott. Hey, you guys rock. I just wanted to know, why did you start playing Pinkerton songs? Because when I saw you in Long Beach and San Diego, you only played Tired of Sex, but now you're playing different ones.
I don't know. It just felt cool to have all the albums represented. Instead of, we went through a period of like, hey, we're not playing any songs anybody knows, so listen to that for a while. And... I think we were tired of that, too.
Michael, why do you think the Pinkerton album is such an enigma? Like, some people love it, some people hate it. Now some people that hated it love it.
And some people who loved it now hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, when I first got it, the only, like, songs I listened to were, like, The Good Life and El Scorcho. Now I just, like,
yes.
Play it through, just, like, repeat. I don't know. I like it a lot more now, but, yeah, I don't know.
All right, Michael. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot. Night, you guys rock.
Pat, I mean, what's your reasoning for that? Isn't it, I mean, it's odd. I mean, when Pinkerton came out, like, people wanted to throw tomatoes at you, it seemed like. And now those people love the thing.
Well, there was, like, a group of kids, like, our core fans that were just like, okay, that's rad.
Yeah.
But it was perceived as a failure, even though it sold a ton of records. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to think about it.
It's weird,
fun to
though,
play
the
because
has
the
such life.
Musically it's really bombastic and it's fun to play mm-hmm. and there's a cool spirit to it.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's Pat and Scott is here. They're from the band Weezer. We got about 40 minutes left. When we get back, we're going to play a song that lovely Andrea suggested, and we're going to do that in a few minutes with more Loveline after this. Here on Loveline, I would be Stryker in for Adam Carolla, who is touring around some foreign country, and Dr. Drew is to my left. We got 50% of Weezer here, Pat and Scott. And earlier, in case you missed it, Andrea called in, huge fan of Weezer, and I was like, why don't you just choose the next song, Andrea? What do you want to hear off Maladroit, which came out in May? And what did she choose? Take Control?
Take Control.
Was that it? All right, so let's hear Take Control for Andrea from the band Weezer right now on Loveline. boys. Take Control from Weezer. They're here on Loveline. It's Pat and Scott.
How y'all doing? That song shreds. It makes me nuts when I hear that.
That's one of the most rocking ones on there.
Yeah, I love that song.
And based on that song, we have a question, and it's going to Bridget. Wants to ask you. Go ahead. You're 22.
Oh, hey. Hi, Pat and Scott.
Hi, Bridget.
I was wondering what the new album is going to sound like, if it sounds like any of the old ones.
God, I hope it doesn't sound like any of the old ones.
It'll be just another sound.
How come you put out Maladroit so close to the release of the previous album, the Green Album?
We were just feeling like, why wait 2 years to make records? Let's just keep going.
Good
job. It was pretty creative time.
My answer was, there are so many songs in there I would have loved to play on the radio. The Crab song.
Yeah.
One, I love that thing. I was dying to play that.
You can do that. You're a DJ.
That is correct. But I wanted the video. I wanted everyone to experience that song as I liked. I would play that over and over in my car.
I dig Crab.
Yeah.
I have another question. Yes. Whatever happened to the song and the Preacher's Son?
It's there. It still exists. Maybe we will put it on the next record.
It's in the giant bin of really great songs that didn't make a record.
I have another question.
Last one, Bridget.
Okay. This is for Pat. Do you feel the same as Rivers that Pinkerton was a mistake? Because personally, I love it. I'm like a huge fan.
I don't think it was a mistake at all. I think it was a pretty bold move, and I'm happy that such a crazy album was released.
Perfect. Jason.
Yes.
What's up, man? You're on Loveline.
I'm 20, and my girlfriend's going to be turning 16 soon.
Ouch.
And I was wondering, what are the negative effects of having a physical relationship with her?
With her, it's going to be a lot worse than on you.
Well, unless he goes to jail, he won't be so happy about
because
that.
Because it's illegal, right?
Yeah.
And it's also bad for you in that you've sunk to that place where you're that guy. You're an adult male that's dating a freshman in high school.
Yeah, you're the senior who takes a freshman to the prom.
He's more than a senior.
He's a senior in college dating a freshman in high school. But if you were going to college, I don't suspect Jason's going to college.
JC, maybe?
No. Yeah.
No.
So,
what happens? It seems like the guys I know that are older, they go out with really young girls and they fall in love with them, and then the girls are really into it, and the girls get to be like 18 or 19 and are like,
they're like,
wait a minute, I'm going to go have a life and do this and this and this. And then,
not only that, they're like, wait a minute, and now I'm not even 20 yet. And, oh, my God, he's dating 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Do you have a Camaro?
Who is this guy?
I'm just wondering what the physical effects are. Will it hurt her body anyway?
No, Jason, don't be ridiculous. It's gonna affect her brain, though, profoundly. And the fact that she is someone that would go for this kind of relationship does say something about her relationship with her own father, her feelings about herself, what her intimacy needs are, and you're sort of fueling a need for victimization, basically, or a need for a male that's sort of bigger than life and not really available in a way that's real. Mm-hmm. It's the best way I can describe it to you. The reason these laws are in place are to protect the 15-year-old.
Last night we had a caller call in who was 19, maybe dating a 16-year-old, and the guy sounded, believe it or not, the guy sounded pretty cool on the phone. He's like, man, I know this is wrong, but I met the parents. We're not having sex yet. But now I'm listening to Jason, and, man, you sound freaky.
Hey, you're a prick.
Thank you, Ace. It's the wrong thing
to
be doing.
You don't want
to
be the guy who, like, is waiting at lunch hour at the high school in your Camaro picking up your girlfriend. That's
tricky. And then the question you ask, is it going to hurt her physically?
Mm-hmm. You are an asshole.
Yeah, no. But, dude, you got to stop or you're going to prison probably.
All right.
Good times.
I was going to say that, but then I'd be stealing Adam Carolla's
line. Pull up, man. You're flying low.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. Holly.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, baby. You're 16.
Yeah.
Represent it.
No.
Okay. What's going on?
Okay, I was supposed to go get a tattoo this weekend, right? But is it really going to hurt if I get it on my wrist?
You mean like a big black 8-ball on your back of your hand?
No, like a star.
The wrist is a pretty sensitive area, Scott. You would know about this.
Yeah, it hurts.
Does it?
A lot of nerve endings.
It's going to hurt.
Oh.
Don't do it. Why don't you just wait a little while?
No, I can't wait a while. I've waited a while for like a year, and this is the while that I waited.
Well, what's the legal age to get tattooed where you live?
They're illegal in Oklahoma. You have to go to Arkansas or Missouri.
Tattoos are illegal altogether?
Yeah, you can't have, you know, you're not like allowed to have a shop where you give tattoos.
Wow, interesting.
Thank you.
Don't do it. My advice is don't do it.
Do you have any tattoos, Pat?
I have none.
None.
Are you?
I think either go all out or take
to answer your
clean.
Question, it's going to hurt like hell. So there you go.
Are you going to find a shop that'll do a 16-year-old? You think?
Well, like, okay, I know a guy that does them.
Let's call him.
I'm one of those people that just knows people.
Is he a professional? He has his own shop. He has clean equipment.
Yeah, he's pretty clean.
Pretty clean?
Pretty clean.
Well, no, he does my friend's dad's tattoos, and his are all really good.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying they look good, but this is a guy that's going to bring over to a 14-year-old's house.
He has, like, clean needles. He takes them all out of packages and throws them away when he's done.
He cleans them in the faucet.
No, he doesn't do that.
All he puts them in the blue thing at the barbershop.
Holly, you asked, and Scott said, don't do it. Wait a couple years. You have nothing to lose
if you wait. Barbicide?
Exactly.
But then I'll sound like a loser. I'll be like, no, I'm not going to get my tattoo because Weezer told me not to.
Well, you know? Scott, I don't know what Scott's position is, but
Scott said no.
Your body's a magnificent temple, and maybe you should wait until you have serious life experience to get a tattoo.
Okay.
Just go get it.
Just do it. Get a big crab on your back or something.
I think put it on the landing spot just above the butt crack.
Right, exactly.
That's the best spot. Yes, Drew?
You like tattoos there?
Yes. On the lower spot of the back.
Get it, like, actually... forget it.
You've said that twice tonight, Justin.
I know, I'm just...
Justin.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? You're 16 on Loveline.
Hi, guys. Happy birthday to Drew.
Thanks, Justin.
Hi. Yes. Whenever I masturbate, I would, like, suppress my urethra right next to my anus.
Yeah, it's not your... Well, it is your urethra, but it's your perineum. And you are, in fact,
pushing...
You mean
the taint.
Yeah, the taint.
So it's like holding the hose, so... When you release
but
it,
doing
it shoots
up underneath
out.
The testicles.
Oh, okay.
Behind the testicles.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, well, I heard it on your show, and then, like, is that wrong if I do that, like, every day? Would that hurt me somehow?
It shoots the semen back up into your bladder. And it's not exactly a healthy thing to do.
So would I pee my own semen with my...
Yes, it will come out in your pee, yes.
Okay.
Is that nice?
Thick, and it'll sink to the bottom.
No, it does. A little more dilute than that.
Kind of gross.
Yeah, hey, don't do that, dude.
Okay, cool.
Okay, do it.
All right, Justin. Where are we going here? Hey, Megan.
Yes?
What's up? You're 18.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just got into college, and I'm bisexual, and my friends don't know it, and some of them seem kind of weird about it, and I don't know how to tell them.
Why do you have to tell them?
Well, I like to be honest with them. Well, like, I mean...
You're not being dishonest, you're just not telling them. Your friends announced to you their sexual orientation?
No, but
okay,
my friends in high school knew it. And
that's fine, but they don't. You're just getting into a new community. They don't have to know.
Okay, so I should never tell them?
No, I'm not saying that. If you want support on this issue, you can go to Gay Lesbian Youth. I'm sure there are centers there at your school that can give you support for this kind of thing, but
okay.
Why do you have to announce it? Do your friends announce they're heterosexual?
You don't have to go on a mission.
It's just like, okay, we'll be like sitting there and like hanging out and stuff, and like my friends that are girls, like, have gone to all-girls schools, so at all-girls, I went to one, too, and they're all touchy-feely type thing, and so, like, I don't know, it's just...
What's the problem?
Huh?
What's the problem?
Oh, well, they touch me, or I touch them, and then I don't know what to do about it, because, like, then they're like, oh, it's getting weird, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's...
Drew, you never had a situation where there was, like, dude that hung out for a long time, and you hung and hung and hung and hung, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, by the way, I'm gay, mm-hmm. And then you're like... Oh, that's kind of weird. Like, you would have wished that you would have known when you started the being close with them and a friend.
But then you might have not developed a friendship the way you did.
Well, I don't think you would be like that. I wouldn't be like that. But it was weird to hang out. We had a guy that was on an old road crew that I was on, and it was just funny to find out later.
I think it's weird to have a guy charade, you know, masquerade as a straight person.
I do too.
And carry on with, you know, the way straight guys
do. Talk about chicks and like, oh, this and that, and then all of a sudden he cops to it.
But this is not quite that. This is she just arrived at school, like, yesterday. Mm. She got some new friends, and she has to announce to them her sexual orientation.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
It will come out with time as she gets closer and more relationship and feels comfortable and knows who to trust and who needs to know intimate details.
She's going to be converting so many of the straight girls for their first experiences in college. Maybe. I mean, that is the place where all the girls experiment. At least
the lesbians there.
I'm not encouraging her to hide it. I'm not encouraging her to...
I just don't think it should be a big issue where she has to stand on the table at dinner time and announce to everybody. Just think, as it comes up,
triangle shirt.
Yeah, as you get to know these people, let them have your intimate details.
Megan.
Yeah?
Last question, real quick. Do you plan on converting some of the straight girls for some one-night stands out in college?
I don't know. I may have to.
There you go.
They're pretty hot.
Send me the videos, baby.
How come you're not just gay?
Because I like men as well. Striker, you're a hottie.
Thanks, Megan.
Are you a sex addict?
No, kind of. I don't know.
You kind of sound like it. Are you addicted to anything else?
No, that's you.
Have you been addicted to other stuff?
Not drugs or alcohol or anything. No, I'm pretty faded except for that kind of sex.
Sex, yeah. Kind of sex. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Wait, no trauma or anything? No physical abuse, anything like that?
No.
Is there alcoholism in your family?
There is, but not in my, like, immediate family.
Who is the alcoholic?
Oh, like, no one I grew up with, but it's been, like, my parents always warned me, like, don't get too into alcohol or anything.
Because you've got the gene in your family.
Yeah, that.
All right, well, that's what is expressing itself through sex here, Megan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, okay. You just, I can't guarantee it, but the quality with which you sort of approach sexuality has a compulsive element to it, and you know, it just be careful. This may become compulsive. It may be it may be an addiction. Truly, I suspect you never smoke pot regularly or anything.
No, I don't. I don't do that.
No drugs. Nothing. No pain medication for an extended period of time.
I've never wanted to.
No medication of any kind.
No.
Okay. Just be careful. Just you've got that kind of momentum and that quality in your biology.
And you know what's scary about Megan? She's got a really good personality combined with being maybe possibly addicted to sex. She thinks going to land any dude and any girl she wants.
But if that gets out of control, it's not going to be such a happy thing for her.
That's true. Have fun, but be careful, Megan.
Okay, thank you.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
All right, we got to take a break. We got Weezer here, and it's Dr. Drew and more Loveline coming up after this. Hold on. Here on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Try to get some more of your calls in. Hanging out with Scott and Pat from the band Weezer.
Hi.
As they bring in an In-N-Out burger for Scott.
Guess who?
A cheeseburger. That thing looks good. I was talking to Drew and everyone during the break. Apple Pan Man in West L.A. That is the best old school restaurant.
Yep.
I had two burgers tonight, two fries. Place is good. If you're ever in L.A., go to the Apple Pan. Place is good. Total old school. It will not kill you. It tastes
It'll
good.
Kill you. All food kills you. What happens?
Shoot your eye out, kid. Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to that next. What's going on with you? You're 15.
15, yeah. Well, I just want to say first, Pat and Scott, I met you guys at Concord, actually, and it was really awesome before the show because we showed up there at like 12 and didn't leave until like 2.
Nice.
But it was really, really cool. And, Pat, I just kind of had a question for you. I mean, I know you're married already and everything, and I know on tour a lot it's not really, a good time, I think, maybe to have kids or something because, you know, you're not away from home or anything. And I was wondering if you guys were planning on maybe having kids in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe next year we're looking at it. Hi, Jen. What's up? I know you're listening.
I thought you were talking about me, Pat. Are you asking if me and Pat are going to have kids together?
That would be interesting.
Well, we're going to gene splice and figure it out.
You should do that.
Cool.
And sell it. That kid would make millions.
Jesus. All right, Kelly. Is that it?
Well, I'm no doctor, but...
Also, were you thinking about, like, any names? Or if you want... Do you have any preferences, whether it's boy or girl?
Striker.
Just kids in general, or, like, how many?
I like the name Georgie for a girl.
Really?
Yeah, Georgie Sassafras. That's my favorite.
I like guys' names on girls.
And I like Charlie for a boy.
Charlie?
I don't know why. It's a really common name.
I'd call him Chuck then.
Chuck is whack.
That's what you get when you call your kid Charlie,
hey,
bro.
Hey, Charlie.
Sorry, Mr. Rose.
Where's little Charlie? There he is.
Not me. I'd be, what's up? There, little Chuck.
Yeah, well,
hey, Tommy. Tommy, I apologize for having you on hold for so long. You're 26.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Drew, happy birthday, man.
Thanks, Tommy.
Okay. Actually, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently been going through, I guess, these panic attacks.
Right.
To the point where I'm basically going to faint. And I'm always thinking that there's something wrong with me, thinking that I have, like, a brain tumor or I have some sort of disease like cancer.
That's what a panic attack is.
Correct. And it's like, what I'm trying to say is, can that be induced through like drugs. I used to be a heavy cocaine and speed user.
Very commonly, in fact, particularly cocaine, and sometimes the panic attacks don't start until you've been away from the drug for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been about 4 years I've been.
It's real common for panic. And pot can do it sometimes too. I've treated a couple of people with recalcitrant severe panic attacks who were not heavy pot smokers. They just smoked it a few times, and one of those times, pow, it created these panic reactions, and they are profound.
Yeah, the last time, actually, I do it recreationally, pot, mm-hmm. but the last time I did it, I actually had a panic attack on pot, so.
It happens.
I stopped.
Get that drink.
That's why I quit.
There are pharmacologic agents to help with this, and if you're an addict, that ought to be treated also, because an untreated addict is essentially always depressed and always having anxiety. Okay?
So basically, it doesn't really affect you physically in the long term, or?
No, I'm saying absolutely it does. I just gave you a few minutes about that.
Okay.
And that there are medicines that can correct some of that injury, and that also the psychological process of being an untreated addict will, essentially all untreated addicts are depressed and anxious. If you're trying not to use, you will not feel good.
So step number one for Tommy is to get help with an addiction or to get help with the
psychiatrist
panic attack.
See a psychiatrist who's used to treating panic and also has some experience with addiction.
All right. You got it, Tommy?
Thanks a lot. I appreciate
cool.
you guys.
Good luck.
Get better, man.
All right. Let's try to get in one or two more here. Chris.
Oh, what's up?
What's up? You're 14.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Steve. Oh, God. I forgot your name.
That's all right, man. Sorry, Steve.
Hey, Weezer.
Hey, dude.
Okay, my question is, like, I've always been shy, you know? I've never had a girlfriend in my life. I've never even really talked to one, actually. But, like...
Loser.
How old is he?
14.
Oh.
That hurts. No, I'm just playing.
So you haven't gone through puberty yet, I take
no,
it?
No,
right?
I have.
You have, and you're still shy.
Like, I have hair down there and all that crud, but...
So what's your question then? Why?
How do you talk to girls?
How do you talk to girls?
I just wondering if y'all can give me any advice.
Sacking up, man.
Learn how to play an instrument, dude, and go to the gym.
Form a band.
Well, I want to play the drums, so.
You can do it, man. You can.
Don't
totally
be
do
a drummer.
It.
You're in the back of the room. You're going to join 50 bands. You're going to be psycho. No one's.
You'll want to play guitar. It'll be terrible.
Yeah, you get the veins in the arm when you play guitar, man.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Hang in there, dude. Just find something you love to do and concentrate on that. Get your own thing together as best as you can, and then you'll be a little bit attractive. You won't be thinking about yourself quite as much, like, what do I got to offer? What am I going to do? Just man up and get on your mission in life. I would say concentrate on that right now.
I haven't found my mission in life. I don't know what it really is.
That's right, man. Once you get that, you'll just it helps
interest,
you out.
Interest, man. Find out what interests you.
I really want to be like a wrestler, you know, like the WWE stuff.
Wow. Okay, stop that right now.
It's not funny. Everybody laughs at me.
You should go on the MTV show.
Maybe.
But really, my idol is The Rock, so.
Right on, dude. Well, we better get to the gym, then. Start eating. Right?
Do you have any advice, like how I can maybe work myself up to a girl that I like?
Well, dude, sack up, walk up and talk to her, man. I swear to God, I'd say it's a 30% rule. 30% of the time, it'll be golden for you. Talk to them 70% of the time, you're going to be rejected.
Yeah, you got to fail. You must fail.
But I would definitely practice on girls you're not so into, because you put the heat on yourself where it's somebody you've got to land, you've got to meet. You're going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're going to blow it.
I always go after, like, the most attractive girl in the whole entire school.
Who doesn't?
That's true. But I also had another question.
Hurry up.
I was wondering if Weezer's ever going to go on a tour with any other bands.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Are you guys still going to be going out with NWA? Is that happening?
Yeah. I'm calling Dre tomorrow, getting it back together.
Getting the whole band back together? No, seriously, what about a tour? I think I asked you in the beginning, but when are you guys hitting the road again? Because you're taking a little break.
It depends
right now.
We're going to make a record, and if we can make it this year, we'll tour in February and March. But
if
it gets pushed back, then obviously the tour will be as well.
Now, whose decision is it? I guess it's the band's, but what does the label have to say, and do they have a say in terms of how often you put out a record?
Well, you know, we listen to what everybody has to say, and we all kind of get together and figure out what the best thing is, mm-hmm. and you get everyone on the same page, and it's cool.
All right. Rick?
Yeah?
Hurry up, because we got to take a break. Get one quick question in.
All right.
Go ahead, ask.
Okay.
Sorry, too slow. Okay, we have to take a break here on Loveline. That was Rick.
Do it!
I know, just say the answer! Woo! All right, we'll be back with more Weezer after this.
That sucks to be 14.
On Loveline. We're back here on Loveline.
Love Line, wrapping things up. It's Stryker along with Dr. Drew, and Weezer is here. Coming up on Sunday, who is it, Dr.
Andy Hallett.
Right, and then we're going to have the Vandals on Monday.
Sit your moist ass down.
Ooh,
nice.
Me?
I didn't say that. That was a drop.
I'm trying to see the board, you bastard.
Sit your moist ass down.
Drew, you son of a bitch.
Janine Garofalo coming in here on the 12th.
And we're going to ask her about what's up with her not going to Weezer shows anymore. What's the deal with that? So that's Janine Garofalo next Thursday. That should be really cool.
We have David Allen Greer the next week. Disturbed.
Disturbed. And then you got Brewer, Jim Brewer's
Donald
funny.
Logue.
311 is coming in.
Dude, I know Peanut. He lives right across the street from me.
Really? Does he bang that thing?
But I know him as Aaron.
You do?
Yeah.
How much pot is coming out of that house?
None.
Yeah, right.
No, nothing.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up right now. So, Weezer, Scott, Kat, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. It's good
to be here. Yeah, this is awesome.
And thanks for everybody and their nice questions.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And you're going to see some kids outside that want your signatures. Good luck recording the new album. I hope it goes well.
Thank you very much.
I hope it's longer than 29 minutes when it's finished.
Oh, no, it's shorter.
Shorter than that.
Shorter time since bands.
There you
days.
Go. Just like me. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for the week. We'll talk to you on Sunday. So for Dr. Drew, I'm Stryker. For Adam Carolla, saying adios.
Yeah, thanks.
My ass is lonely. It's been so long.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.